Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of pet meds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
What's up, everybody? Matt Aguilar here from Comic Book Nations, the pull list, where we talk all things comics all the time. I am joined by two of my very favorite people to talk comics with, Kofi Outlaw and Nicole Drum. What's up, guys?
Hello.
What's up?
Well, we got a ton of comics to get to. Now, I know this one is actually a little stacked in the big two. There's just a lot going on, but we are featuring some things outside of the big two as well, so we got you covered there. But there's just too many big kind of event books happening that we needed to touch base on. So let's start here with one of my favorites, Nightwing. Nightwing hit its big 300th issue. It's actually issue 113, but Legacy, it is 300. And look, everyone knows how much I adore Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor does amazing things. With Nightwing in particular. Just gets the character, and I feel like 300 is just kind of that perfect landmark celebration style issue. Just gives me the, you know, warm and fuzzies, man. There's just something awesome about this book and what Tom does. Kofi, how you feeling about Nightwing? Because I know it's not a book we've covered a ton here, but I didn't know if you kept up with it. What you thought of this one?
I thought, first of all, I was like, are we just doing like actual numbers and legacy number celebrations now? Because I feel like we just did like what, Nightwing 100 not too long ago? Wasn't that like a whole legacy thing we did too? Or like a whole.
It very well could have been.
DC just loves a party.
Yeah. You know me. Like, I think legacy ones, like these special issues that kind of like try to help us really reframe the character and get them in like these bigger lights, they can be hit or miss. I didn't love the particular, I love the art before this kind of run, you know, when we were doing that other kind of run of Nightwing. But you know, Tom Taylor is just making Dick Grayson in this character a centerpiece for DC and kind of setting him up for a good future. And I think that's safely in the bag, even though I don't necessarily enjoy this particular kind of legacy issue.
Got you. I do love, man, I do love some Daniele DiNicolo artwork from, you know, got a big start there from Power Rangers, and then has gone on to become one of kind of the regular team ups with Tom. I think it was Seven Secrets. Is it Seven Secrets? I think it was. That was also a really fun series. Nicole, how are you feeling about Nightwing in general, and also this issue in particular?
I love Nightwing in general. I love, I'm also a big Tom Taylor fan. I love basically anything Tom Taylor touches. I feel like gives this really human touch to it. And I always appreciate that when it comes to how he approaches characters. But I really, really loved this issue. And this is one of those rare comics that made me cry my face off at one point. There's a specific moment where there's a spot where he says, "And George is proud of you too." And yes! I'm not gonna lie, I lost it. And I thought the art in that particular section was just fantastic. And I'm kind of with Kofi here. The art here is not specifically my favorite. I mean, there's some great moments in this where the facial expression, and you're showing one right now, I was actually going to bring up, where the in very neat handwriting. I loved that so much. Like, I want that as like an avatar for something because it's hilarious. But the pizza, the exchange, yes, there in the pizza shop, the art, the colors, and then that line, "And George is proud of, would be proud of you too." I got really emotional. And I just feel like, yeah, the way Tom Taylor writes Nightwing, the dynamic and the balance of everything in this, this is one of those issues that felt a little bit like we were getting a slice of life, giving a character their flowers, but also advancing the story at the same time with the villain. And everything was playing in concert. It was like a symphony kind of coming together, to where I didn't feel like it was filler. I didn't feel like it was too fluffy. And it just felt like a landmark moment that was also a shift in dynamic. And it all just fired on all the cylinders for me. And then I lost it and started crying and had to redo all my makeup before.
So this came out with so DC's still doing Tuesdays. So I feel like got a day. I feel like I'm not going to spoil the ending and what that sets up, because I do think, like you said, I think it really like sets the table really well for moving forward. So it wasn't just a, you know, kind of like fluff issue, because there's stuff in there that builds to the next thing. And then also stuff that pays off if you've been following the series for a minute. But I will say that that moment, Bruno Redondo does do that section with the George line and stuff. That small section is him. And it's, it was awesome that, because he's really good at likenesses. And so for that to nail that and who sang the line and all that, like, that makes a difference, right? That's, there's just a lot of attention paid to stuff. I agree with you. And when you said I got emotional, I was like, which part? There's like a couple, right? I had a couple, like, you know, and there's just section, like really just sweet like, moments.
Yeah.
Yes.
That whole section, as soon as we got into that section, I'm like, oh no. Oh, Tom,
you guys are right. You guys are really invested in the life of Dick Grayson here. Like,
I love
Dick Grayson. Okay. First of all, everybody, I am a Batman, Bat fan person. I love Dick Grayson. Everyone assumes that I'm just like, oh, Batman's your favorite. Dude, I love Dick Grayson. Like,
no, I wouldn't have assumed that. I would have assumed, I've been around you two both enough to know that you'd probably be Dick Grayson fans. I mean, I came into Batman in the 90s. Like, I'm a big Tim Drake fan. Like, that's my
Tim Robin. Drake is great.
I also love Tim Drake. Like, basically, right, give me any of the Bat Boys in Batman, and I just love them all. I've even come around to loving Damian, and I can't.
Oh yeah, yeah, you did.
I mean, I didn't want to go there, but yeah, I
you
love Damian.
You got me. Like, you got me at long last. I finally come around to loving Damian, which is why I love that in very neat handwriting so freaking much.
Damian had two shining moments in this week's books.
He did.
So, like, and we'll get to the other one, but like, Damian rules, man. I love what they've done with him. But yeah, I agree. And I just love, look, Tom Taylor, you know, if you look at my background, it's no shock to know that, like, you know, Batgirl is one of my favorite characters. Barbara Gordon specifically is one of my, is probably, if not my favorite DC character of all time, one of them, top two or three, right? And the way he portrays them together, I just love the way, like, he just, Tom Taylor just gets that relationship and that dynamic, and it's just wonderful to see. So, I agree
about the relationship in this issue that I was like, And I love that. I love that there's like these little personal things that made me kind of go, oh. And I love that. I love the way Tom Taylor humanizes characters. And just, I really appreciate that.
Also, we need more.
And I'm not going to tell you what it is. You got to read it yourself.
The boat wing rules, and I need more of the boat wing, and it's awesome. So there you go. I know it ties into the current plot of what's happening with Grayson and everything, and it's just a perfect reason. It's one of the things I love about what Joshua Williams has done over in Superman is like using the opportunities the plot creates to have fun and create Superman armor that has a specific plot point. It just looks cool. Same way with like a ship or, you know, what we'll get to in Superman this week as well. Really dug it. Let's move to a very different book in tone and in everything. Helen of Windhorn, number two. I know in the first issue, me and Kofi talked about kind of, you know, there was a lot. It had to set up a lot in that first issue, and then it kind of hits you with the big hook at the very end. And I'm very curious to know what you think of this issue, Kofi, because I thought it would kind of end up flipping it, but it did not flip it. And in fact, it's kind of formatted in the same way. Obviously, there's just some very different sequences and ways it sets it up, but it really is like kind of that wait for hook payoff, and there's a lot of other things revealed through dialogue in this issue. Did this work for you? Did it not? How you feeling?
Yeah, a lot of Tom King to talk about this week. Yeah, in spite of everything, like this creative team is so strong that it still has me, and like, they do enough to keep me hooked to want to know like what comes next, because I know in the next issue, or at least I think, because the point of view of this is you got to keep track of like what the point of view, we are several layers deep in point of view throughout this. And then sometimes you begin to forget. So you get to like the, you know, the guy going through the tape recorder and the stuff. And I'm like, wait, what are we doing? And then I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, as a chapter of a book and kind of how I'm looking at this, like the next volume of a tome or something like that, it was kind of interesting. You know, you get the grandfather put in, and so you have a repeat almost of the first issue, but now with this new factor in it, which begins to send out little ripples. It changes Helen, you know, a little bit. She's drinking less, you know, we're all trying to do that in 2024. So it kind of like it begins to evolve a little bit, and you get little hints of mystery, and you get enough hints that there's something really up with this family. They're not quite human, like all this stuff. That's enough to get me on the hook for number three. But yeah, number three has got to show me something. If I get into number three and it's still the governess just standing in the house, watching out the window as they come back from the wilderness, I'm going to be like, that's when I'm going to start slamming keyboards and being like, come on, man, like take me into the woods. It's all cute little deer thingy. Now I want to know like what else is going on here. So like, yeah, the overall just mystique and mystery still has me, but yeah. And this is one where I'm like, I swore I was going to give up. Like every page, I was like, I might give up. And then I was just like, all right, I'm going to go.
That's how they get you. All right,
I'm going to go one more. So, and the dynamic between the governess, Helen, and the grandfather is kind of a centerpiece that holds it together. If you've ever watched old BBC shows, like BBC network shows, Jesus, these kids. Yeah, that stuff is, it reminds me of that. It's very kind of like British comedy-ish. And so there's very a lot much. Of that I enjoy that stuff. I'll admit, I enjoy that stuff. So it got me. It still has me for now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
That's a great comparison. I think that is like a perfect comparison of a BBC show. Nicole, how do you feel about this? And also the first issue, because we didn't get a chance to kind of hear your thoughts on that.
I admittedly actually was looking forward to this one coming out because I love this creative team. People think I hate Tom King because I'm very critical of Tom King a lot of the times. But I will say this. I think Tom King does his best work when he's not doing superheroes. He's doing something more original like this. That said, I read issue 1 and issue 2 back to back, and I think reading them together helps a lot. And this is one of those things where it really does, because I felt like I was reading a bigger piece. And then when I got to the end of this, it made me realize this is going to be one of those things where I wish we had everything at once, because then you can read it like a novel, because it's built like a novel. And I think that by doing it issue by issue, we're almost doing the story a disservice. I do have some critiques though. And this is a common critique I have with King. It's that it's hard to keep track of whose point of view we're in or who's narrating at any given time. And I almost have to have a notebook to track, okay, are we dealing with the tape recorder dude? Are we dealing with our BBC Masterpiece Theater people? Who are we tracking at any given time? And for me, that's a little bit of a challenge because this is a very thinky book and very dense in a way. That said, I am completely hooked by this. Like, I want to know what the heck is going on. Why is that little cute little animal so cute? And is it probably evil? It's probably evil, isn't it? It's too cute.
He looks like a Pokemon.
It was a definite setup. Like, I felt like,
right?
Like, that thing, like, something was going to happen. Like, it's going to be like a flirt.
I really thought it was going to come out and like attack someone. Like, my first thought was like, that's a Pokemon. No, wait, that's too cute. That's got to be evil. They're going to, and then when we, you know, they're on a mission to take it back to like its nest or whatever, something bad's going to happen. And then there's too much drinking. Something bad's got to happen. There's drinking, there's windows, there's a cute little animal that's clearly evil. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I'm concerned because we're going into a third issue. And having read a lot of Tom King, my concern is we're going to go to the third issue and no shoes are going to drop. And that's where they're going to lose me, because we're building to a shoe drop, or at least the stumbling of a shoe to drop. And I'm concerned, like Kofi, we're going to get to the governess staring out a window as they come back. And it'll be like, the cute little thing wasn't evil after all. What the heck?
So I'm trying to remember. Oh, okay. It's six. It's a six issue series. Okay. Cause I couldn't remember how long this was.
We're heading to the midpoint, and that's where things come undone for King. And I really would like to see him subvert my expectations. But the thing that I will say about this is the art is almost enough to keep me going, because I love how this looks. And I'm sorry, but the hair and the eyes, line work here just sells me every single time for this artist. And
there's a scene where they're next to each other, where the where the grandfather and the granddaughter are next to each other, and like, oh, that was so well done.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. Like, just that
about their eyes.
There's a familiarity, and it's just the way the artwork presents it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
like I would follow this artist into it. They could draw the phone book, and I would probably buy it. To be perfectly honest.
Agreed. I agree. It's funny. I had, and we'll get to that in a second, because obviously we are going to be talking about Wonder Woman as well. Another Tom King book, and also from a set of different perspectives. I actually had a more difficult time in that book than I did with this one, as far as handling who was talking and the narrator. I actually thought they did a good job of this one, of like laying out visual clues for me to go, okay, we're not talking for, he's not talking to her anymore. He's talking to somebody else. We're forward in time. Like, it was easier for me to grasp in this book for whatever reason, than it actually was. I had a harder time doing it in the other book. And I really am, like, at the end of the day, I think I'm just a sucker for, like this sort of dialogue. I didn't miss, there's no action set pieces. The most action that happens in this book is literally in the preview of him slamming the table. That is the most action.
There's a table flip or smash. Yes. That's it.
And it a thing works. With swords. That's it. That's the only thing. Those are the only two things that happened that could be. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is critical.
So there's. So that page.
It's
but
not
that doesn't really count.
That is the drug swords.
But like, so there's no action in this book. And it was just kind of that layered storytelling that, you know, King is known for. And I was sucked in the entire time. And by the end, though, I did go, oh, that's interesting. There's not a bigger hook. There is a hook. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited for issue three. And I'm in the same boat as you guys, as in, I really, though, do need issue three to like get the ball moving. Because we've done so much setup, and I'm really invested. I'm already invested in these characters. I want to see this journey, but now I need you to kind of pick up the pace, have some answers to some things. Not everything, because it's six issues, and I totally get it. And I want to be surprised, but I need some kind of bigger movement. We're especially now that we're moving beyond the house. So I do need that in issue three. But as an issue overall, I was insanely captivated. I very much have been. With this series so far. So
I actually have a theory. I think there's going to be, I think a lot of this will be from thematically just kind of knowing story a little bit. I feel like issue three will change in a big deal. I don't think we can stay in the same premise, because I think a lot of this has been, you know, the class of the house, you know, the formality of that, the rules, this thing, and this girl who clearly does not fit into that mold and has this crazy, savage, wild side, but doesn't really know herself. And everything we get from the sketches from the grandfather, he comes back. I mean, the way he takes down the table suggests he's strong. You know, the way he's just tearing up food, and he disappears. He comes back. He's just like famished, tears up food, grunts a little bit, pieces out. That's like some Wolverine-ish, right? Like, I feel like we're going to go into the wild and find out that this man's like, you know, he's just going to like do like, you know, Master Roshi type stuff, like rip off his clothes and be like ripped and like tangling with monsters. And at first Helen's gonna be like WTF, and then she's gonna like, you know, find herself and be like, oh, this is crazy, you know, this is awesome, and like, you know, and she'll become, and that'd be awesome. I mean, if that, we come back to that barbarian, you know, thing back around, and it actually is something, and by the end of this, where she's actually like a badass, like Red Sonja type out there with swords, yeah, like I think we can get there. I mean, if I'm picking up what Tom King's putting down, and I'm hoping, because, you know, I'm betting a lot on this, I just
need him to pick up what he's putting down, because again, I don't hate Tom King, but he does have a tendency to put stuff down and then not pick it back up. Please pick up what he's put down. please.
Although we did that's a good segue, because there we did pick up some things that we put down, you know, because I was, I had my first kind of you lost me point with this next book. I think we're going to.
That's a perfect segue. Wonder Woman number 8, because the last issue was that kind of out of nowhere interlude type thing of like setting aside, you know, the entire thing that we had been really building towards. And it was like, oh, hey, we're going to do this thing. And it was jarring. Yeah, it was very jarring. So here, though, we do essentially almost act like that book didn't exist at all. And we pick up right and we pick up right where we left off. And because of that, I actually had to go back. Because I kind of forgot exactly how that last issue before that last issue ended. And then I went, okay, I got it. I'm here. So then we move in here, and there is the, you know, and you see it in the previous spaces. Like, typically the person who is the villain is talking, and it's that kind of blue. But it's not really, because sometimes it's hard to make out if that's Diana thinking to herself or if that's the other person. And so about midway through the issue, I kind of got jumbled. I was like, okay, who's talking? Like, is it...
But I think I think it was very purposeful.
I do agree with that. And this book is a primary example of why I've had some people message me being like, dude, what is your beef with Tom King? Because I do not like this run. Like, I am
so, oh my God, Nicole!
Call me a hater, but I do not like this run. And oh my God, this issue annoyed me so hard. And for me, it centers around two things. I do not feel like the Sovereign is a well enough developed villain for me to give two rats about what he's been trying to accomplish. Like, bro, I don't care. You're just generic misogynistic villain number 403 to me. Okay, fine, whatever. And the other thing to me is I can get what King was attempting to do here, at least what I perceive he was attempting to do, because I'm not a mind reader. I'm not going to pretend to be. But the idea that the way it came across to me as a female reader who loves Wonder Woman and has followed Wonder Woman forever, like little tiny baby Nicole's first character was Wonder Woman. Like, this idea kept coming across. And I get, and realistically, this is what the Sovereign was trying to do, but it just felt icky to me. And the way it was presented is that women are oppressing themselves. Because she was like buying into the whole, I can't break this because it's Amazonian. I can't break this. And then out of nowhere, she breaks it. And it's like, between that random trip to the mall, which was weird as all get out, and then this weird pseudo 50s fantasy dark twist from a villain who I don't quite buy anyway, with random biblical, and again, I grew up in an evangelical situation, so some of this stuff just made me twitch a little bit. I'm just like, what? This whole thing just made me go, huh? What? And then following along, but I do think some of that was cooked in there intentionally. I feel like the confusion of perspective was intentional, and that was done, because it made me mad. And I felt like I was in her head, like a little, like she was confused. And it was like, if you're trying to mess with someone's head from a psychological, because you can't break her physically.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I mean, you have to think of it that way. You can't break Wonder Woman physically. She's going to break.
Well, they've
you.
Already tried. Like, they've that's tried. The that's the point. This how is the you, latest in a series.
How do you break right. someone you can't break physically? You break them psychologically. But even and Tom King would understand that. So, yes. So on the basis of the point is to challenge her mentally and thus challenge the reader, it fires on all cylinders. I just don't feel it was done well. But I also don't feel like most of this run has been done well, because I feel like a lot of it is done superficially, and I would really have loved to have seen more development go into the Sovereign as a villain I would give more rats about. Because, again, he's random misogynistic villain 403 to me, though I did enjoy watching her crush his windpipe. So, I enjoy
Kofi,
that.
What are you thinking?
And I'll be
I think there's an... And we've been circling it a lot, but I think it's been there from the very first issue with this run. When it's done, we'll kind of be, you know, dissecting it and talking about it for a while. But I think there is an argument to be made, kind of springboarding off Nicole, about is this a Wonder Woman story that kind of affirms and reinforces Wonder Woman for girls? Or is this a story that kind of makes men re-examine Wonder Woman and look at it differently? Because what we've talked about over the themes, because we've covered basically every issue of this, is the first striking thing for me, and I never kind of, you know, do we ever assume it's just us as men, but you know, but like, you know, I never thought about it, but you and I were really taken back about the artwork and how this presents the physicality of Wonder Woman as very challenging. This is a book like that we talked about, you know, some of our favorite images are the more anime influenced, like Wonder Woman in the dark with the lasso up, but she's small in those, you know, her frame is small. She's small in there. She's powerful, even though she has that small frame. And this run, she is clearly, in every Amazonian is clearly like a WNBA player compared to a bunch of race jockeys, right? Like to the men around them. And so like,
face.
Yeah, the physicality, just making us relook at things like I thought we think, oh, it's so girly, she has an invisible jet. And then in this book, we're like, yeah, dude, it's still a jet. Like, and when you see it outside a window with big guns, your little, you know, your thing might shrink a little and be like, oh, ooh, you know, that's pretty formidable. Like, you know, so right. There is a lot of this. And I think some of the hardest hitting parts of it for you and I have been the things that makes us as men kind of stop and re-examine Wonder Woman, kind of like what she means. And this is being written by a man who who admittedly very much loves Wonder Woman, because we sat down and talked to Tom King on this show. Go back and look at that interview. But it's still inevitably from a man's perspective, and I can see how this gets a little objecty at times, right? And there are certain objects. Like, I feel like the Sovereign isn't a villain. I feel like from the way he just says they and all that, and like the way he speaks, it is this kind of almost like an anime demon lump of like every gross societal misogynistic kind of concept just lumped into a person. Mm-hmm. And with the kind of the fable kind of, you know, thing that this is where all this stems from, right? Like the, you know, the fable mythology that this, all this negative stuff comes from a guy like this and his magic lasso, reinforcing for all of us that this is how we should think and this is how it should be, and doing that. And so this issue was very interesting to me because midway through, I was like, we are deep in the effing pool, and I hope we can swim back to the side before we all drown out here. Because, I mean, by the time that inner monologue starts kind of melding and things are getting really kind of crazy, like, I was like, oh, man, is there going to be, like, a way out of this? But what kind of struck it for me, and maybe it's just because I, you know, we read that awesome story of Hippolyta and like the Amazons. What was that called, Matt? The one that I love so much. The kind of 3-volume arc about the Amazons and their formation and Hippolyta's
Historia.
Historia.
So good.
Yeah. One of the best. I mean, one of the things you should have on your coffee table is just if you're a comic fan, you're like, here's comics. You want to see grown up stuff? Like, boom, take this. It's just that line in the end point about like how Wonder Woman's spirit is so independent, it's so strong that even when she's kind of at her lowest point and is just going, you know, where we all are at our lowest point, crying back to mommy, right? Like, that's everybody's lowest point when you're like in the foxhole. She's like, you know, you remember, like, who is this person you're being? You don't listen to me when I told you not to do everything that you have done. And then she's like, oh, right. Yeah, I do, like, you know, I do my own thing. I have my own will, and not even the will of the, you know, that whole mother-daughter thing is something that bends me, which can bend a lot of ladies. Trust me. I know. So we can, you know, we can just kind of, in her breaking through that and showing like, the indomitable spirit of women. I don't know if that connects, but it was a good fable for me. Like, I was like, oh, like it made me see Wonder Woman as tough in a very, 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 very different way that didn't involve beating people up, which is hard for, you know, I'm from Philadelphia and a man. So it's hard for me not to understand that beating people up is the key way of doing things here.
That's true.
Yeah. And so, And so, like, I mean, I think it's working for me in that, right? Like, I've had to put more respect on Wonder Woman's name through this than I think I have before, in just entertaining and just on an entertainment level, prestige comic level, and just like as a character level in like getting to know Diana. But I mean, I definitely don't think you're alone in kind of the, this is very much a fable, right? Like, this whole thing is presented like a fable by the evil witch or villain that somebody found in a cave and is now telling us this story.
Yeah, you gotta remember, he is just so, I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We're all the way back to the levels of dreaming, and in this inception, we are.
He's just chilling in a jail cell somewhere.
Just chilling in a jail cell. Now, I do.
Daughter. Conclude before I forget by just saying, what I'm kind of curious to see is this narrator reliable? Because
that's true.
What is he telling this to Trinity for, and can we really believe the point of his story is? Oh yeah, Wonder Woman, your mom is awesome. Like, I don't know. So yeah, I'm
more to it than that.
Exactly.
It'll be interesting to see when we get to the end.
Yeah.
But I do want to touch back to something you said. It's a perspective I hadn't considered. Is this a Wonder Woman story that is geared to women, or is it meant to be reframing Wonder Woman for men? Because you're right. Women and girls look at Wonder Woman, we see one thing. Men see something else. And this is a Wonder Woman who is definitely taking up space. And her presentation is very different in a lot of ways. And I do know that a lot of the people that I've talked to about this issue, like, My female friends, we see this book very, very differently. And then my guy friends are like, I don't see it that way, but dude, Wonder Woman's big. Like, what the heck? And I think that's a good perspective for me as a person who reads this book religiously, that I hadn't seen it that way. Like, for me, I get angry at some of this because I'm like, why aren't we centering Wonder Woman differently? Why is this approach being different? I still don't like this the way it is because my reaction to it's visceral and different. But I do definitely, I'm now, this is a different perspective that I haven't actually seen. And I really appreciate you mentioning that, Kofi, because it's going to make me go back and see this. And I am curious to see when we get to the end of this, aren't we reframing this for the girlies and the girly identifying folk who have always seen Wonder Woman one way and has been screaming for years, please put some respect on Diana's name? Or are we getting the guys who are getting a crash course in Amazons are going to take up space? And I'm curious to see how this shakes out in the end.
Well, you're going to get that regardless. Because
we're always like, going to get some sort of discourse on this. It's going to happen. But
yeah, like trash seeks out, you know,
yeah,
like the internet. Ideas at all times.
Visually, and just looking at the art here on our screen, visually speaking, this is not your tiny, she's curvy, but she's curvy in a, this is a physical human being who has physical form, not a male gaze curve. This is a, I am a living human breathing woman. Well, not human, but you know what I mean. I am a woman in the world has physicality. It's a different type of look. And even though like 1950s-esque look, it's not the pinup type. This is a house dress like my grandma would have worn in the 50s just to do her dishes kind of thing. Very different approach. And I'm going to have to reframe how I look at things a little bit now.
Will say, I don't know about Matt, and just real quick, there are the other thing that taught me that made me think this issue particularly was subtexted for men is I don't think you can be a man or even be like a husband or a boyfriend and not feel like substantially deeply, and you might not hear us talk about that because we don't talk about these things, but like icked by some of the things that like between Steve and Diana, that whole dynamic. Yeah, even if you know you're a good guy, you're still like, there's some of this that's just like, that feels really icky. Like if you've ever made your wife mad in a domestic sense, like if your wife has ever looked at you and said, because you said the wrong thing about the dinner or something, like there is a certain amount of connectivity to that I was like, oof, like this is uncomfortable. Like I do not like this.
I think it's important to highlight what you guys said, and then we got to move because we only got a little time. We got to hit a bunch of other books. But I think it's important because both points are, number one, are valid. And I think this book is a weird mix of both. And I think to me, that's why it works. But I totally understand how someone else can read this and just get a totally different read. Because all those things, right? The villain being very generic, misogynist, I think that's the point. I think it is one of a collective whole. I think he's very much it's a collective of people. It's the ideals. It's the trash ideas that are more the villain here than anything else, right? I think it's those things. And I think as over time, that will hopefully bear out. And if not, then I think that's a kind of a missed opportunity. Then it really is just like a throwaway person. But it's one of those things that I kind of can't really make a judgment on until I see the whole thing come to fruition. And also the Hippolyta scene was one of those things where, you know, I didn't see it as like, you know, oh, I just, you know, the power was in me all the time as in like a scapegoat kind of way. I thought I very much see myself in that spot of, you know, who do I go to in those times where I'm very much not sure where my solid ground is. And I go to my parents, I go to my family, I go to people who matter. And for her, that's Hippolyta. I hope for Ember, that's me. You know, I hope for Ember, that's my, like, that's how I see those scenes now. It's forever changed how I see scenes like that. And so I look at that more as that, like, I hope I can be the reaffirming presence for, there are going to be times where you just feel like what you thought was solid is not anymore. And so I, it was just, all of those things are really interesting. And I love this discussion. We do have to move, to some other books. I would really stay here the entire time.
Shout out to the Wonder Girls. We got to shout out the Wonder Girls.
Yes, I was going to say. That was the other scene. Yes.
That was such a fun scene.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Torturing somebody. Yeah, Wonder Girls torturing somebody. And Cassie,
I love that so much.
I was like, whoa. Yeah,
and Yara is so, man, yeah. My God, I love any, I just need, where's my freaking Wonder Girl book? But
yeah, I know, man.
I just need that. RIP that book. So yeah, I think there was just so much here to talk about. We only have time for probably about two books here. So let's, get to, then we got to wrap. Let's do, Nicole, you had a chance to, read Blow Away, number one. What did you think of this?
I actually really, really, really like this book. The nuts and bolts of this book is, so we've got a photojournalist who is in the Arctic, and she is there to capture some rare natural thing, and in the process may have stumbled across a much, much larger mystery. This book is beautifully done, and it's very sparse. So it's an incredible example of using the environment as a storytelling device and supporting it with the art and the narrative, while also still managing to build a mystery. And there's just a cadence to this book. I cannot describe it. The uses the isolation of being in the Arctic, the weird voyeuristic, almost Rear Window type of kind of vibe to it. And then you get this possible maybe murder mystery, but who's watching the watcher kind of situation, because you discover, not to give too much away, but she may not be alone, and she may not necessarily be the most emotionally balanced person either. And it is just a fantastic book. And it's a little bit of a slow read. There's not a lot of action here, because you're getting this blown out look. You're seeing everything through her lens, in a sense. But did these people fall off the mountain? What's going to happen when she goes out? Is there a bigger mystery at play? And I just think it's really beautifully done. The art here is fantastic. And again, it's one of those examples of everything just balances. You've got the environment, you've got the way the narrative is told, you got the art supporting it. And the sparse uses the concept of the natural environment and the way nature can be isolating, but also full of detail and perspective to really enhance the storytelling. And while we know absolutely nothing about these people, Thompson gives us just enough breadcrumbs to make us wonder what the heck is actually out on that ice. The really real comparison I can give you is if you watched True Detective Night Country at all, and it's not like the same supernatural vibes at all, but that same kind of cold, frozen waste, like there's something hinky going on in the cold. This kind of has a similar vibe without, maybe, I don't know, we're only one issue in, without the supernatural aspect of it. So there's definitely it's a mystery, but there's a thriller aspect to it as well. And I really, really, really like this book a lot.
I will always give Zach Thompson a shot. His books are always intriguing for me. So I will definitely, I started to read this one. I didn't get to finish it. So I really enjoyed it so far. Kofi, did you want to hit? You got Star Wars, you got some X-Men. What you got?
Here we go. Okay, here we go. Boom. Let's start. Fall of X. Complete damn mess. Having these, Fall of the House of X and Dead X-Men books coming out at the wrong times, giving us pieces of the story and then other story. Total mess. But yeah, sure. We're in Moira. We're always going to mourn what Moira was. So this is all not going smoothly. I also read the Action Comics. So that, or was it Superman this week?
Superman 13. Oh, House of so Brainiac. Good.
Yeah, House of Brainiac is hitting so good. Great thing. Superman and Lobo. Superman's on a hog in this. Like,
yes, that was the thing I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, Superman's on a chopper. So it going through space. This is the kind of Superman thing I need to see in a movie. This is crazy. It's hype. Zarnians are everywhere. It's great. There's Brainiacs everywhere. And there's a little Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing we're getting into at the end. And so, like,
it's insane
on all levels. Yeah, Joshua Williamson's really, really out here killing it. I read Ultimate Black Panther. I don't know. Some of you guys are hard on this book, I know. But I just like that this is like a weird, this is like what Ultimate was for me back in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing, but just a clear space and a new context. And in this new context, I'm enjoying the hell out of this. It's awesome to see T'Challa in this version of Killmonger going to look for Storm in this crazy Raiders of the Lost Ark thing. Okoye, a queen Okoye, and Shuri kind of going at it and having this different kind of dynamic. So I'm enjoying it. And it's a clear space for Black Panther. Artwork's great. So yeah, I'm kind of enjoying it. And I believe that's all I had to cover, right? Is that all I did?
Boom.
I
think that's yeah. No, you got me. He knocked that out of the park. Before we go, I love Spider-Boy. You will not hit me off that mountain. Spider-Boy rules. That's my favorite Dan Slott Spider-Man book. You know why it rules? Because Spider-Man ain't in it. Because Peter Parker sucks now. Oh, that's why. He sucks now, okay? The current Peter Parker blows. And I'm so glad he's not in this book. And this issue, he's not in this issue at all. And it's great. This is great. And also, Spider-Boy is my favorite. It's right there with, like, Spider-Woman, which was also great. This week, Spider-Woman was really fun. They brought, you know, Star back, which was nice to see her brought out from villain jail. I don't know where she's been, but Spider-Woman was great. It's really fun. It does take a weird thing of, like, hey, this really traumatic thing happened in the last issue, so, like, let's move the character across the country. That feels kind of abrupt, and, like, they explain it, but, like, once you kind of rationalize it, the actual, like, book and the story and where it's going and stuff is really interesting. So, like, it took my head a little bit to get around that. But yeah, really enjoyed that. Nicole, anything else you want to shout out before we go?
The Weatherman.
Yes!
Like, read that. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Like, okay, first of all, if you have not read the previous volumes to this, please read them before jumping into this series, because I made the mistake of not doing that. Was very confused at first, but then I caught up and it's fantastic. This issue in particular is kind of like everything's starting to come together to the point of, like, a confrontation. There's, like, so much humanity, humans suck, politics, intrigue, a crazy virus, apocalyptic stuff, after the post-apocalyptic, it's like apocalypse after an apocalypse has already happened. There's a coup. Like, it's
awesome.
You should do 70s styles. Yeah, you need 70 styles trailers for comics doing, but done by Nicole, like The Weatherman.
It's an apocalypse after an apocalypse, and there's a virus. Like, I would have so much fun with that, to be perfectly. There is no accurate way to explain this, but, like,
there really isn't. Trying,
there's not. I can't really tell you what it's about, but let's just put it this way. Someone is trying to atone for their sins by saving someone who may not be able to be saved, as they're trying to wipe out the rest of humanity, and there's a virus. It's amazing.
Boom!
Political intrigue and lots of blood. It's great.
All right, and really awesome art. Yeah. Andrew, if you asked what it's about, that's what it's about. And that's honestly the most concise way to describe that book. It's so fun. You should definitely try out the first issue, see what you think, because you'll know if you'll like it. All right,
I had one last
thing. Oh, yes.
Just read Star Wars. Star Wars High Republic is still happening. Star Wars High Republic is still happening. And High Republic Saber for Hire has one of my favorite characters, Ty Yorick, who used to be a Jedi but said, nah, I'm just going to become a monster hunter instead, and is badass. So Star Wars High Republic is still going on. I'm out.
Boom. Oh, boy. All right. Well, you can catch even more of our reviews on comicbook.com. You can check out all of our long form reviews. We cover a ton, even more than we cover here on the main site. You can also catch our regular show, Comic Book Nation, on Fridays, where we'll even fit some comics in there from time to time, just because there's so much to talk about. Thank you for everything. Thank you for watching the show, listening on our podcast platforms. And until next week, peace out. Deuces.